Global markets slip following Credit Suisse's rescue deal. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Another Monday, another weekend of bank rescue plans. Swiss bank UBS agreed to buy its rival Credit Suisse for more than $3 billion to prevent a crisis spreading across global markets. Switzerland's second biggest lender was considered one of the top 30 most important banks in the world, which is why this takeover was rushed through by Swiss authorities. Cornelia Mayer, economist and head of the business consultancy MRL Corporation in Switzerland, is here. Hi, Cornelia.
Hi, Leanna.
What are shareholders saying? Are there ordinary people who have shares in Credit Suisse who are going to be out of pocket because of this?
Oh, there are many, yes. And in Switzerland, you know, it's the pension funds. But, you know, the AT1 shareholders, bondholders, also pension fund. It's retail investors. Credit Suisse is a bank of more than 150 years standing. It's the second largest bank. It's an icon of Swiss banking. So, yes, there are people, but they're better off because if you look at the amount of mortgages Credit Suisse has, if one had let the bank collapse, it would have resulted in a collapse of the real estate sector, which nobody was interested in. And also for the global economy, we hope it will stem the tide because you have seen a regulator and the government move with the speed of light to resolve the situation.
UBS is a competitor to Credit Suisse. What does that mean for Swiss banking now? Is there going to be less competition in the market? Will it change the high streets there as well?
If you are one of these SMEs and you want to do things internationally, you know, you had Credit Suisse, you had UBS, you had some of the cantonal banks, so now you only have UBS. It becomes a lender's market, not a borrower's market, so that will be very tough. If you look at the high street, yes, in most cities had a UBS and a Credit Suisse branch. Well, they will now get consolidated, and it's not ideal, but it was the best of a whole load of bad options.
Cornelia Mayer, economist and head of the business consultancy MRL Corporation, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Leanna.
Now, let's do the numbers on this story. Among the biggest losers in the Credit Suisse sale are investors in the firm's riskiest bonds, known as AT1s, worth $17 billion. These bonds are set to be wiped out, and similar debt issued by other European banks have opened with big losses. And the sale doesn't seem to have eased market jitters either. UBS shares dropped and Credit Suisse shares plummeted. The Chinese President Xi Jinping is on his way to Moscow for his first visit since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. He will meet Vladimir Putin days after the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant for the Russian leader for alleged war crimes. Our Russia correspondent Steve Rosenberg reports.
The two leaders are expected to expand cooperation. They already claim to have a no-limits partnership, but it's not an equal one. Russia, under heavy international sanctions, is increasingly dependent on China as a market for its commodities and for diplomatic support. As for no limits, well, there are some. Up till now, Beijing has been reluctant to provide Moscow with lethal aid for the Ukraine war to avoid secondary sanctions against Chinese companies.
Steve Rosenberg there. And over the weekend, a deal allowing Ukraine to export millions of tons of grain through the Black Sea despite the ongoing conflict with Russia has been extended for 60 days. Russia's still pushing for a softening of sanctions before extending it further. It's 20 years since the US-led invasion of Iraq over weapons of mass destruction. Here's President George W. Bush.
American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
No stockpiles were ever found. By May 2003, President Bush declared mission accomplished, but it was really the beginning of a new reality for Iraqis. The BBC's James Graham has more.
With Saddam gone, the power vacuum led to devastating sectarian violence and the rise of Islamic State. No one knows how many died. Estimates are in the hundreds of thousands. Now, years later, the country is enjoying its most stable period since 2003. But these shockwaves have had an economic impact. The government says around a quarter of the population live below the poverty line, and yet corruption is rampant. Infrastructure is poor, and power cuts are frequent. All this despite huge oil and gas resources and foreign currency reserves at an all-time high of $100 billion. The government depends on oil for nearly all its revenue, and it's still a major plank in Iraq's economic future. The International Energy Agency predicts Iraq will be the fourth largest oil producer in the world by 2030.
The BBC's James Graham there. Iraq has a dollarized economy and the dinar is down against the dollar in recent months, so imports are more expensive. Why? Well, there are fewer dollars in the system. Iraq sends its oil dollars to an account at the Federal Reserve in New York. That money is then wired back to commercial banks in Iraq. But tighter rules around this process means not as many dollars are making it into the system. The BBC's Sean Yuan has been finding out what impact this has had on businesses in Baghdad's main market.
This is Shorja Market, the biggest and oldest market in Baghdad. The main street in front of me serves as the center of the market, and the narrow alleys alongside it are also hosting many other businesses. All the shops are open now, and on the street, vendors are setting up their own simple stands to sell their own goods. You can see food, clothes, household goods, spices, books, pretty much anything you can think of.
Since 1970, I've sold vegetables and fruits. Since the dollar went up, a lot of people have cut down on buying clothes even. Fruits, everything. I mean, they have the money, but they don't want to spend it because everyone is waiting for the dollar to go down.
Right next to the center of the market is a street filled with shops that sell engine oil. So let's go inside and talk to one of the owners.
Right now, I mean, the market is really still. We are not selling that much because of the fluctuation of the dollar.
How's it compared to a few years ago?
Not 20 years. I'll tell you, in 6 months. In 6 months, we used to sell like around 8,000 to 10,000. Right now, I barely reached 2,000.
Is it the worst time for him?
هذا أسوأ فترة لك؟ إيه نعم هسا حالياً هاي صار تقريباً شهرين يعني ثلاثة شهور. Of course. I mean, the last 3 months, December, January, and February. I mean, it's had a hard time of us. I mean, I have this shop and I have this product worth like $1 million, and I sell per month $1,000. And also you have the rent and you have the customs. Everything is like it's going up.
Now we just walked off the main street next to a mosque and down in the small alley. We saw a shop that sells cosmetic products, facial cream, lotions and stuff like that.
I'm Iraqi and I sell cosmetics and makeup. It's not only the dollar, but also you have the customs. It also went up. And when we buy the stuff in dollar, we have to sell it here. And we cannot increase it because the dollar is now, compared to the dinar, it's up. So that's why you see a lot of shops are empty and there is no customs. Iraq has many obstacles. Bigger than the other one. Since we have security, this is the best thing. I mean, we can overcome this. We'll just wait and we will overcome this.
In Baghdad, I'm BBC's Sean Yuan for Marketplace.
And finally, ChatGPT could be threatening the livelihoods of romantic fiction authors. But Julia Quinn, the author of the best-selling Bridgerton series of novels, which has been adapted for Netflix, thinks humans will always come out on top. That's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.